Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that kazoo ensemble. Like Emma mentioned, that is probably one of the only categories that will be of its kind. But it has been pretty funny. What I kind of like to call that is organized chaos, because of all what looked to be crazy was honestly all scheduled out and sketched out for these students to have fun and to make this happen. We had a student a couple of months ago come to us with this idea, and we were like, I don't know how we are going to pull this off, but we will find a way to make this happen. And so again, give it up for our fine arts participants so far. The beautiful thing about fine arts is that it goes beyond just students getting up here and having fun and performing. Yes, that is a big part of it, but what we have loved so far is that fine arts is more than just that. It's these students that have found a calling, a way to spread the gospel, Jesus' message in unique and fun ways. And for me, that is what it's all about, right? Is spreading God's word. And some of these students, you know, they may not be able to take that kazoo ensemble and save thousands, but it probably could begin to open up doors for them as long as they stay obedient with what the Lord is asking them to do and that call that he has on their life. What I love about fine arts as well is that they kind of have a motto. The motto that they have is to discover a talent, to develop that talent, and then to deploy that talent. They discover the call that God has on their life, they develop that call, and then they have the opportunity to spread God's word in unique and fun ways to their school, to their friends, family, anybody else that is honestly willing to listen, right? And it is really exciting to see, even more exciting to see because of when I was growing up from the ages of 15 to 19 years old, I participated in fine arts with something very similar to what Vince did up here where he did the 5-minute sermon for you guys. And I love to do it. Like I said, I did it for 5 years in a row. I enjoyed it so much. And I have a pretty humbling story, honestly, when it came to this, because of there is a district level where you'll perform in your state, and then there is a national level where you go beyond and you go to Florida or Ohio, depending on where it's held that year, and you get to preach against everybody within the country that is participating in fine arts. And so I prepared a sermon. I was 18 years old. And as I prepared my sermon, I thought to myself, you know what? I think that I am good enough to where I don't have to prepare as much as I had in the past. I know. Yeah, I would laugh too because I'm an 18-year-old, a little arrogant, a little, you know, prideful in my thoughts. And so I get up there and I begin to preach with no notes. I kind of had an idea in the direction that I was going, but I was like, I don't need to write anything down. I'll have more freedom to move my hands maybe, you know, whatever it was. So I decided not to do that. And I was starting my sermon off about 1 minute into it. Somebody in the audience did something kind of goofy, not intentional to distract me or anything like that, but it just happened that way to where I lost my train of thought and I paused and I looked around and I looked down to where my notes should have been. Nothing was there. And I was like, I apologize. Thank you guys so much. That will conclude my 1 minute sermon that I did for you. And I had to walk off the stage in front of everybody, and it was a little embarrassing and very humbling for me. But here's the deal. God reminded me within that notion of that embarrassment, of that humility, that he gave me a talent, he gave me a skill, and I don't need to take that for granted. I need to be continuously honing the talents and the calling that God has on my life effectively so that he can use me to the best of what he wants me to do. And so that is kind of where we're going to be landing today on this topic in my sermon today. The name of my sermon is Too Good to Forget. Too good to forget. God's goodness, God's blessings are too good for us to forget. And as we read in the text today, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 21. To give you a little bit of context of this verse and what's happening, is in the book of Mark, Jesus performs 37 recorded miracles. He performs more miracles than just 37, but he performs 37 that were written down. And we're going to be focusing on the 19th miracle and the 24th miracle. The 19th miracle that Jesus performs is that he feeds 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And what's unique about that story is that in John, it mentions that that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that fed the 5,000 people came from a little lad or a little boy that was there. And the little boy, I imagine, when he offered these 5 loaves and 2 breads to feed people, he probably never thought to himself that I'm going to feed the entire group here with just what I have. He probably thought to himself, I will give what I can and I will allow them to use it to their best of their abilities. But honestly, he probably did not realize who he was giving that fish and bread to. Because of, as we've heard in the story before, that Jesus took just these 5 loaves and 2 fish and he broke it and he blessed it. And it said that he fed 5,000 men plus their women and their children. He fed that many people with just that little bit. What seemed to be an insignificant number for this time of 5,000 people turned out, because it was given to God, to be a miracle. And let me be honest with you guys. Everybody in here has a talent. They have a gift. They have something that God has given them. Even if it seems insignificant at the moment, like, no offense, the Kanzu Ensemble, you know, we're thinking to ourselves, is that going to save thousands of people? No, but in God's hands, it can do mighty things. God does so much with our so little. And again, don't let the enemy ever convince you otherwise that your talents that God has given you is not good enough, because we have a God that does more than what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So on this 24th miracle, Jesus does something pretty similar as well. He feeds, instead of 5,000 people, he feeds 4,000 people, and he feeds them with 7 loaves. And what's unique about the story of why I believe that there is a 5,000 and a 4,000 mark is because of when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, he fed people of like mind. He was feeding people of the Jewish faith. And it seemed like the right thing to do because he was taking care of his people. But when he began to feed the 4,000, he was feeding not Jews, but he was feeding Gentiles. And because of that, there was a problem. The leaders of the church of the time did not like this because they saw the Gentiles as unclean. They didn't believe that they deserved to hear God's message and his word. And so they were doing everything they could as well to prove that Jesus was not who he said he was. So they began to question him. And that's where we're going to land in the text right now. In Mark chapter 8, verses 11, it says, "Then the Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, asking him for signs from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, 'Why does this generation look for a sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to this generation.' Then he left them, got back into the boat, and he went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to take bread except for 1 loaf that they had with them on the boat." This is referring to the disciples. "So the disciples had forgotten to take bread with them except for 1 loaf that they had with them on the boat. And Jesus ordered them to watch out. He said, 'Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod.' So they began to discuss with one another about having no bread. And whenever he learned of this, Jesus said to them, 'Why are you arguing about having no bread?'" I mean, to be frank, Jesus had a really good point. After witnessing 4,000 people being fed with just 7 loaves of bread to the point where they had leftovers, they were arguing about 1 loaf of bread being able to feed 12 people. To be honest with you, seems a little silly to me, right? Jesus asks him, "Why are you arguing about this?" If I was a disciple at the time, I'm not going to lie, I would probably stop carrying food and water with me altogether, because I've seen Jesus perform miracles where he feeds thousands of people with basically nothing, right? For me, it was to watch Jesus work and to perform the miracles that he did. I honestly probably wouldn't begin to question him. And so we sit there and we wonder, what is going on with the disciples? They've witnessed all of these awesome miracles that God has performed, and yet they still have a hard time remembering. And it says this right here. It says, do you not yet understand? Have your hearts been hardened? Jesus asked his disciples, the people that have been following him for about a year and a half now, he sits there and he asks them, has your hearts been hardened? Kind of an ouch moment right there. If I was a disciple and you had your teacher asking you, that's kind of a devastating blow to ask if your hearts have been hardened. Jesus here was asking them if the lies of the enemy, if the yeast of Pharisees and of Herod, if the lies of the enemy of the sense of the Pharisees and Herod referencing the laws of Moses and the laws of the land has gotten to the point where the enemy has spread it to their hearts to where it has hardened their hearts because of they have forgot what Jesus has done for them in the past. And he begins to ask them, are your hearts hardened? He goes on in verse 18 to say, though you have eyes, don't you see? And though you have ears, can't you hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves and fed the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? And they replied, 12. And whenever I broke the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up then? And they said, 7. And then he said to them, do you still not understand? What I love is he's also referencing this because of the little bit that we give to God for him to break and bless. He always gives it back to us tenfold. He got to the point where they had leftovers. That means that there was an abundance of what God had given these people. There was an abundance of what God gives with our talents and with what we give him. One of the hardest things for us to do is to remember God's goodness whenever we're going through turmoil in our life. Whenever something bad happens, a lot of times our first reaction is to turn to God and say, why are you doing this to me? Why are you hurting me? Why is this happening to me? And to be frank, we sit there and we think, why do good things happen, or why do bad things happen to good people? And we sit there and begin to try to ponder that. And a lot of times our conclusion is it's because of God. But let me be honest with you. It's not God that is doing this to you. What's happening is we live in a fallen world and we live in a sinful world where bad things do happen to good people. But here's the deal. The Bible never promises us that we are going to be able to not have, or sorry, the Bible never promises us that our life is going to be easy. The Bible never promises us that you're going to have a glorious life once you are saved. But what it does promise us is that whenever we do go through turmoil or whenever we go through strife, Jesus, God, he is there for us and he will help us get through these struggles. He will help us get through our problems. And again, it's hard to remember that sometimes because of we are human and we are living in a world where it does seem as if everybody wants to blame everything else on everything else, right? Or anything else on anything else. And one of the ways that we have the ability to negate the lies of the enemy is kind of remembering what Peter said to his fellow Christians in one of his letters. Peter, to give a little context, is about to die and he knows it. He is about to be a martyr for Christ. Christ has warned him that you are going to die for me, spreading my gospel. And so Peter goes on to write to fellow Christians to remind them and to help them keep their strength. And he says this to them. He says, I can pray this because his divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary. His divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and his excellence. Though these things has been bestowed on us, his precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of what was promised, you may become partakers of the divine nature. After escaping the worldly corruption that is produced by our evil desires, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith excellence, to add excellence to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection, unselfish love. For if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. The enemy is constantly trying to attack us and tell us that the talents that we have and the skills that God has given us is not good enough, or it is too small for him to be able to utilize. But when we begin to forget what God has done and the goodness of God, we begin to allow the enemy to get those footholds. And when we allow the enemy to get those footholds, it will begin to fill our minds with whatever the enemy wants it for us to remember. As if, why did God not do this for me the way I thought he should have? God should have provided for you this way, not that way. But one of my favorite things is, it's an older saying, I think it's about 15, 20 years old, so maybe not that old. But one of my favorite sayings, it says that he is greater than I. His will is greater than my will. And a lot of times we begin to forget that God's will is greater than our will, because his plans for our lives are better than our own plans for our lives. And when we begin to recognize that the enemy is trying to overtake us constantly, because of even if we temporarily forget the goodness of God, the enemy is crouching at the door ready to pounce as fast as he can. And so it says this again in Peter, verse 5, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, to add to it excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly affection, and unselfish love. When we begin to focus on these attributes, when we begin to focus on what we are doing for God, and in what we do for God, remember these qualities. For this is what it says next. For if these things are really yours, if you have committed to these things and they are really yours, and you continually increase, because you are continually increasing your relationship with Jesus, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive. The enemy wants to keep you ineffective and unproductive. He doesn't want you spreading your gospel. He doesn't want you spreading Jesus's gospel. Your testimony is what he's trying to keep down. He's trying to stop you from spreading God's word. And one of the interesting things about the enemy is, even if you are saved, there are opportunities for him to still try to trip you up. There have been Christians in lives that have said to me, I have done all I can do. I have saved enough people. I have done enough. I am tired. I need a break. And let me be honest with you, even in our breaks, even whenever we are trying to rest, guess who can still use us? God. God can still use us through our tired seasons, because what does God give? He gives something called a miraculous strength, a miraculous rest. God gives us what we need in order for us to do his calling on our life. And what's beautiful about the calling on our life is it's very unique. It is unique to each and every person in here. So continuing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, but concerning the one who lacks such things, he is blind. Kind of reminds me of Mark chapter 8 there a little bit. That is to say, he is nearsighted, since he had forgotten about the cleansing of his past. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to be sure of your calling and election. For by doing this, you will never stumble into sin. For thus, an entrance into the kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Again, one of the hardest things is allowing the enemy to convince us, or not to convince us, that what we have and what God has given us is not good enough. When you start to forget what God has done in your life, the enemy will fill your thoughts with what it wants you to remember. And that is a scary thought. And a lot of those thoughts, what do they look like? A lot of those thoughts come with our deepest insecurities. It is where the enemy wants to taint your mind and your ideals for what God has for you. And he begins to tell you that, yeah, you may have a talent, but it's not good enough. Yeah, you have a talent, but you've been out of church for too long. God can't use you anymore. But I'm here to tell you that that is a lie from the enemy, because God is wanting to use everybody in here for his calling and for his purpose. I have what I like to call my don't forgets. The reminders is basically what they are, but it is, don't forget where your provision comes from. Don't forget where your provision comes from. God and everything that we do unto God comes from him. The enemy will tell you that you are the one that educated yourself. You are the one that got your job. You are the one that got the promotion within your job. Because of you, you are where you're at today. And let me be honest with you, that's not true. All the glory in the good in our life, even in the bad in our life, you know, we give to God. God deserves the glory for all the good things in our life that we do. The enemy will tell you all day long that you deserve the glory for what you did, but God deserves the glory because of he's the one that created us. He is the one that gave us the mind to know, to do what we do. He is the one that wakes us up in the morning. He is the one that gives us opportunities day in and day out to do what he's called us to do. But we have to have the eyes to see. Going back to Mark chapter 8, he asks them, have your hearts been hardened? And that's kind of my challenge for you guys today a little bit, is asking you and really self-reflecting on this idea. Has the enemy hardened your hearts to where you can no longer see what God is doing in your life, to where you can no longer see the opportunities that God is giving you to utilize? Have we forgotten? Are our hearts so hardened that we can't hear when God is speaking to us? That we can't hear whenever he's trying to direct us in the ways that he wants us to go? This moment of self-reflection is kind of difficult. And I don't want you just to play it off and think, oh no, my heart's not hardened. I want you to really think about it. Maybe it'll take you a week, maybe 2 weeks, but I really want you to reflect on that idea. Has your heart been hardened to the point where you're missing what God is trying to do for you? You may be saved your entire life. You may have just come to the Lord recently, but I still want you to sit there and think to yourself, has my heart been hardened to what God has done? Has the enemy convinced me that God can't use me or that I'm not good enough? My second don't forget, or my reminder for you guys, is do not forget where your talents come from. Don't forget where your talents come from. As you guys have noticed up on stage, these students have been working on these talents that they had, this calling on their life. And what's beautiful about this is it's more again than just them getting up here and performing. It's them answering a call that God has given them. It's answering a call that God wants them to do something. Now, what is that something? I honestly do not know. That's between them and God, just like it's between you and God for what he has for you. But these students have stepped out boldly and are wanting to allow God to use them in unique and interesting ways, as you saw the kazoo ensemble. But for that, God has given all of us, through our talents, through our skills, through our circumstances, something called a testimony. He has given us this testimony so that we can share it and be effective in sharing his word. Again, the enemy will tell us that your testimony is not good enough. Your testimony is too small. It's not as good as that other person's. But what I tell the students almost every Sunday and Wednesday, if not every other Sunday and Wednesday, I tell them that I will never be able to minister to your friends. The only person that can do that, unless you bring them to church, is you. Same with everybody in here. Unless you bring them to church, you are the one that is going to have to minister to these people, to your coworkers, to your family, to the people around you. You have the opportunity because God has given you gifts and God has given you talents and God has given you the provision for this so that you can spread the gospel. Don't allow the enemy to tell you otherwise. Don't allow the enemy to think to you that your talents and gifts that God has given you are not good enough or worth it, because they are. Because my last don't forget is don't forget where you came from. We came from God. We came from the almighty creator of the universe. He has created each and everybody in here for a very specific purpose, for a divine purpose. He is wanting to use us in every way that we allow him to use us. The issue is of a lot of us in here think to ourselves, I've done all I can do. And let me be honest with you, if you're still breathing today, God still wants to use you. He wants to use you in any way that he possibly can as you allow him to, because that's the trick. You have to give it to God for allow him to break it and bless it and multiply it. That child that gave up that bread, he was willing and gave it. And when he gave it, God blessed it, broke it, and fed 5,000 and performed a miracle with it. God wants to utilize us to further his kingdom. And everybody in here has a calling. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter when you got saved. It doesn't matter if you're not saved. God still wants to utilize you. But our first step is to check to see if our hearts have been hardened. We need to look and self-reflect, which is hard for a lot of us to do sometimes. And in that self-reflection, maybe it takes us talking to somebody. Maybe it takes that mentor or that person that is our best friend to open our eyes to see that maybe our hearts had been hardened. But a lot of times it's hard to still ask for help. But I would encourage you this week or in the next couple of weeks to really hone in on that idea. Is my heart hardened to where I'm missing what God can do in my life? Because here's the deal. When he begins to work in your life, you begin to also affect other people. You begin to rub off on other people. And we begin to sit there and think to ourselves, we have so many talents in this room. We begin to sit there and think about our talents that we have. And you think to yourself, how can I minister to people by doing what I do? Let me be frank with you. Ask God and he will definitely show you. Because he wants to use you. And those talents that he has given you came from him. And if God gave you a talent, he sure will use that talent through you if you allow him to do so. As I am wrapping up, I would like to invite the worship team and the youth worship team to come onto stage and prepare for our last song. Something unique that we have for you guys is we have one song that has been prepared for you. The students are going to Fine Arts to perform this particular song. There's only going to be about three of them performing. To perform, they have been practicing and practicing. We have great vocalists. We have Jude on the piano. And we are excited, and the students are also very excited to what they're about to get to do, and that is perform with this worship team. They're allowing God to use them in their calling. They're allowing God to do what he's called them to do. And in this season of their life, it may not seem like much, but let me tell you, it is that step of faith that they are taking, that answer to the call that they are taking in order for God to be able to use them and prepare them for what he has ultimately for them. And so as this team performs the song Oceans, I want you guys to remember this, and I want you to think back, are your hearts hardened to the point you can't see what God's doing? And if it is, reflect on that or find somebody that you trust that can help pour into your life. And as the students begin again to the song that they prepared, we do have a few art pieces that are out in the lobby. Check those out. And again, let's back these students in their calling. Even though this may not be what they do for future generations, but this is what God has called them to do right now. Let's back them and let's encourage them in everything that they are doing. Thank you, guys.